Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on 10 years of Digital India, accelerating growth and empowering citizens. The participants are Nand Kumaram, President and CEO, National E-Governance Division, and MD and CEO, Digital India Corporation. Moderator is Aditya Shukla, Akashvani correspondent.
Today, India is celebrating 10 successful years of Digital India program. This program has changed the way the country works. It has changed the way how we pay, how we travel, how we dine out, how we communicate to each other, and so much more. The journey began with opening of Jan Dhan accounts for millions of people. Today, Digital India is a model that many countries want to follow. Let's listen to Prime Minister Narendra Modi on Digital India.
I dream of a Digital India where government is open and governance is transparent. I dream of a Digital India where government services are easily and efficiently available to citizens on mobile device. I dream of a Digital India where mobile and e-banking ensures financial inclusion. I dream of a Digital India where the world looks to India for the next big idea.
What once seemed like a distant dream is now a reality. To discuss how this dream of Digital India became the reality and what is the current scale of digitization, we are now joined by Sri Nand Kumaram, Managing Director and CEO, National E-Governance Division in the Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
As we mark a decade of Digital India, how would you summarize the journey of Digital India over the last 10 years?
In the last 10 years, if you see, we have taken steps in a very structured and systematic way, ranging from citizen-level interventions, whether you call it Jam Trinity or Aadhaar expansion or bank transfers, or institutional initiatives like GEM or MSME initiatives, or whether it is institutional and then advocacy and legal level issues like, say, strengthening of the DPDP Act where privacy of citizens are concerned and addressed. And then at international level, we have been a strong advocacy of DPI, wherein we strongly advocate adoption of technology within the country, but also outside, and for various interactions between a citizen placed in one country to outside and various institutions across borders. So there is a systematic effort at all stages in various departments, and the results are there for everybody to see now.
In fact, you have talked about Digital India and about the Jan Dhan Aadhaar Trinity. How has this foundational pillar empowered citizens, the Jam Trinity, especially in rural and underserved areas?
There was a humongous task, and country has been working on opening bank accounts for people. But last 10 years, if you see, at that time, there was a backlog of around 52 crores accounts to be opened. So in a very short duration, we could open that account, not only the open an account, but connect it to Aadhaar. And that was, I think, the game changer. So the identity and banking solution was mapped together, and a very smart solution was developed where a fund could be transferred not only after knowing account, but just by knowing Aadhaar. And that changed the way we give subsidies or various schemes, grants, whether it is a scholarship or a housing project or a farmer-related benefit. So all the applications, the softwares that we develop, they changed from account-based payment to Aadhaar-enabled payment. And DBT mission, which was calling under the guidance of Honorable Prime Minister, that all these transfers were to be converted into DBT mode. And on one hand, if you see, it changed the way there a lot of disintermediation happened. So a lot of payments which used to take from, say, state to block or district and then block and then final to urban local body or panchayat and then to the citizen. So all those intermediaries have been done away with, and with single click, now from one state or from national level, we can transfer funds. At the second level, it has made making software's job very easy. So you have an Aadhaar and you can just connect it to payment. So last bank account connected with the Aadhaar gets the money paid. So a lot of financial integration has happened on the structure of Jam.
India is now leading the world in real-time digital payments, as we all know. How has UPI revolutionized the way Indians transact and supported financial inclusion at scale?
UPI is our flagship, if I can say so. That is the flagship product of Digital India campaign. And UPI has shown that if people apply the process and go by first principle thinking, how payments can be really transformed. For long, we heard that MasterCard or some companies who had a business model that was the best and everybody was trying to copy that. But under the leadership of Reserve Bank of India, they came up with a very good solution, very neat, very clean solution of fund transfer from one bank to another. And this not only has reached a mark where we have every daily volume, 62 crore transactions, it runs into billions and the numbers keep on adding. So every time you see a huge transaction and the system is very robust to handle that within country, now even outside country. So once we go to a shop, whether it is buying 10 rupee cup of tea or a grocery, or now even IPOs can be bought through UPI payments. So the amount has also increased. So right from a day-to-day purchase to big scale purchases, UPI is now used in the country. The another very good spin-off has been that now the international community has started adopting it. There was a very famous tweet where people in France below the Eiffel Tower, they showed how they can pay and how they can transfer money. Singapore is another area where we are working. So a lot of countries, and we are in active replication mode, and NPCIL is leading the initiative. So this has really changed the way funds are transferred across ecosystem.
Let's now understand from numbers how big this achievement of Digital India has been. Let's listen to this report.
From just over 25 crore internet connections in 2014 to a staggering 96.96 crore in 2024, India's digital footprint has grown nearly fourfold in the last 10 years. One of the major milestones is the installation of 4,74,000 5G towers, ensuring ultra-fast connectivity across 99.6% of India's districts. Digital payments have become the norm. In April 2025 alone, UPI recorded an astounding over 1,867 crore transactions, amounting to 24.77 lakh crore rupees. Government services too have gone digital. DigiLocker now serves 53.92 crore users, helping citizens access important documents at the tap of a button. The Umang platform offers 2,300 government services in 23 Indian languages. And at the heart of this transformation is BharatNet, connecting 2.18 lakh gram panchayats with high-speed internet. From a vision in 2015 to a digital revolution in 2025, Digital India has touched every corner of the country and every aspect of life. This is Deeksha Saxena, News Desk.
India's digital public goods like UPI, DigiLocker and Aadhaar-enabled services are now seen as global models, as you have already mentioned. What has been the impact of these platforms on daily governance and service delivery?
One of the complaints that people used to say that, you know, you have to go to a block office or a municipal office to get certain services. Say their check that has come as a scholarship or their check that has come as a farmer, they want to take something or some housing scheme. And every visit has a cost. Somebody who is working has to go to the office and get that document collected back. With use of these kind of instruments like DigiLocker or even the other digital efforts, these documents are now pushed off directly to the people. Now this culture has come, and most of the state governments and Government of India applications these days are getting connected to these digital modes of communication. So on one side, there is a fund transfer, which we spoke about in JAM. Another side is the documents being exchanged between citizen and government through digital means. So there is a lot of change in the way interaction of citizen and government has transformed in last 10 years.
In fact, you have mentioned that how the Digital India has transformed the way the citizens are in communication with the government. So one such platform is Umang. Then there is eShram, eSanjeevani portals. So how these portals have brought government services closer to citizens? What are some standout achievements in the e-governance?
Generally, what we have seen is that if you take any application, say, I would like to mention one nation, one ration card.
Mm-hmm.
Now, earlier, these databases were confined only to one state, or earlier it was even up to a district. But after the call that national level, we should have one nation, one ration card. So if somebody is migrating for a few months to some metropolis or some district headquarter, the person can take the ration there itself. And the same model was replicated in case of Ayushman Bharat. So the same principle is now applied, that you are now to be served not only by one office in which area you reside, but by entire government as a whole. So the real sense of whole of government is enabled when you apply tech layer in the way we transact. So this is one example, with the last two examples of one nation, one ration card.
There is one very promising scheme of the government of India, that is a BharatNet program. So I want you to elaborate on this specific program and how this has been instrumental in bridging the digital divide, and it ensures that last mile connectivity to India's last village is made up.
BharatNet was envisioned to have broadband based connectivity in remote areas and high speed internet. As we are aware that technology has a risk, that if you do not have good internet and a device to consume internet and access application, then these services will not be available to those people, and again they will be left out in this march of development in India. BharatNet has expanded network through liberal funding, through project execution, and at the same time, where there are commercial operators are shying away from, say, taking that step, then this funding initiative or execution of the projects by various Department of Telecom agencies, they try to bridge that gap. This work has resulted in a lot of expansion in network, and the remaining part where maybe it's a few border villages or certain forest area villages, that has been identified, and a lot of expansion has happened, and the remaining parts are likely to be closed in a very short time from now.
How the Digital India has played an empowering role for startups, MSMEs and small entrepreneurs through digital platforms and support systems.
One of the glaring examples that we have now is setting up of GeM. One of the erstwhile DGSND and now GeM, it has changed the way people are procuring in government. So if I quote a number of around 13 lakh crore rupees procurement has happened through this. And one of the biggest beneficiaries have been the MSMEs and startups. So after changing the rule that MSMEs have to be given priority, Make in India has to be given priority, startups have to be given priority, and level playing fields have to be set up, these agencies could easily see, sitting in their own room, in their own startup environment, that which all procurements are happening, what kind of work orders government is coming up with, what kind of companies are getting in there, and what are the prevalent rates. So this brought a lot of transparency and ease of application. After Make in India initiative, a lot of companies came up with those items wherein we could say that, okay, these items are now available, are to be procured in large scale. So they applied for it, they got business, and the cash flow improved for these MSMEs.
What is the future? What is the vision for Digital India 2.0? What key areas will the ministry prioritize in the next phase of digital transformation?
So there are many areas that are being worked on, but one that impacts citizen is their data privacy. After DPDP Act rules being drafted and put in public domain consultation, that is one area which we would like to strengthen. Cyber security of the country is very important, and applications are important. We saw recently in Operation Sindoor also, we could see that a lot of cyber threat comes when anything happens on border, and it's a routine affair. So strengthening cyber security will be another top priority area. Making people aware of the various products and services that we have on digital ecosystem is a task which remains unfinished. AI models, AI data sets, AI products, which are to be indigenized and developed in the country so that people can participate in this global digital transformation that is happening all around.
Yes, Mr. Kumaram, you provided so much valuable inputs to our listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on 10 years of Digital India, Accelerating Growth and Empowering Citizens. The participants were Nand Kumaram, President and CEO, National E-Governance Division, and MD and CEO, Digital India Corporation. Moderator was Aditya Shukla, Akashvani correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.
Spotlight.